Okay, a couple of things we'll try to go through. This will be a little different tonight. I'll go ahead and we're going to look at just things in the Bible. Maybe we remember how I always ask how many has some questions, and I get hardly any response. Well, we're going to ask a lot of questions and see if we can answer them. And then these are not long answers, just short answers, so they're not exhaustive. How many know what that means?
Yes.
You can take some time and go back through it. So you'll have this for your own look at, and we'll just see. Again, these are questions, answers, and then things that may raise more questions. So to get our mind going and get us in a good study habit. Psalms 119. We're going to look at a couple verses there. I don't have it on the slide, so we're going to get all of you to turn there. I'll pull it up on your phone or whatever you're using, and so we can take a good look at this. Psalms 119, verse 105. Psalms 119, verse 105. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." How many of you have ever heard that verse before? Right? It says in verse 106, "I have sworn an oath and have confirmed it." So I want you to see. He said, "I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgment. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy," what? "Word." How many want the word, the illuminated word? How many know that's what's going to keep us? The what? The word. Everything else is going to fade away, but what's going to last forever? The word. "Except I beseech thee, the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget thy law." How many see that? How many know we hadn't changed context yet? Still talking about the what? The word. 110. "The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I hear not from thy," what? "Precepts." Am I still talking about the word? How many see that? Verse 111. "Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart." Now, when I use the word testimony, what am I talking about? The what? The word. 112, "I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end." When I say statutes, what I'm talking about? The word. How many see this theme going on here? The word. Very important. So we got to make sure that we understand that. So I want you to make a note of that. Psalms 119, verse 105 through 112. And all those verses, what we're being directed to is the Word of God. How many know that if we have something that we need to talk about, and we have a dispute or we have something that's unsettling, we need to go to the Word. Go to the Word and see what the Word says on it. A lot of times that's not what is done. A lot of times what happens, what was happening before Jesus came, people had started drifting from the word, the precepts of God, drifting from the law, and they started teaching man's traditions rather than going back to the word of God. So what happened was a lot of traditions got inserted, and then they started calling those things the word of God. How do you check to see if it's the word of God? If we got a tradition, how do we check it? We go back to the Word and we look at it and see if we can find it in there. Was that practice? Was that something they did? And that's, it's easy. It's not hard to do. We just got to go back to the Word and do that. The next slide says, ask the Scripture. How many think that's important? Ask the Scripture. How many's ever had a question you wanted to ask somebody? Maybe you wanted to ask me a question. We're going to ask the Scripture and see what the Scripture says on certain things. And there's a lot of them. I won't be able to get to all of them. I'll see how far we can get on this. But there's thousands of questions that can be asked. And that, can we answer the thousands of things that are asked? Well, if it's in the Word of God, we ought to be able to find it. It takes some research and some careful diligence in the Scripture, going through it. But we got to see if it'll answer these questions, okay? So that's what we'll do. I'm going to go one question at a time, and then I'm going to give you a verse of Scripture. You can write them down. They're not exhaustive, meaning there may be more than, there may be several verses. Some of them I put, they got several verses that answers the question, but not for all of them, okay? Most of them are single verses. So I'm not, what I'm saying is no, you don't have to take that single verse as the sole answer. You can go through the Scripture and see and check it. Check the answer with what you know and understand in the Bible, okay? So let's take our time, go through this. First question, what is sin? What is sin? A lot of people want to know what that is because people think, well, sin is in, well, this is not sin. To me, this is not sin. This, you ever heard that term? Well, it doesn't matter what it is to me or you, what sin is. What matters is what the Word says, right? Because that's what people do. They say, well, you know, you do it like you do it. I do it like I do it. And some people feel good about what they're doing. They don't have, consciously, they don't even feel bad. So to them, it's not sin. But if we all had that and we all could make it up, we could live any kind of way we want. Because to us, I'm comfortable with it. I don't feel like that's wrong. But we got to find out what is sin in the Bible. How many would like to know that? I'm going to give you a simple answer that I could give. Again, not exhaustive. The answer. 1 John 3:4. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. Uh-oh. Sin is what? What was the question? What is sin? Sin is what? Lawlessness. Meaning you do not follow the precepts of God, the statutes of God, or the commandments of God. You don't follow them. That's sin. Wow. Well, I thought sin was if you, you know, you really mean to somebody. Me, I'm not mean, you know. But I don't keep the laws and the precepts. You see? So what we've done, we've got kind of a basket of the bad things. We stay away from that basket of bad things. Yeah, what we don't have in a basket, we might break every day. We better check that out, don't you think? So sin simply is lawlessness. So we got to make sure we take some time to check on that, okay? That was the first one. Next question. If we love God, what does He want us to do? If we love God, what does He, meaning God, want us to do? The answer, John 14:15. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. How many see that? Well, you know, I could say I love God, but what does He want me to do? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. How many think that would be, you know, how many's ever had your children say, well, I love you? And in the very next minute or so, they break the commandment that you set, the rule. You got to check on their love. Now, that don't mean that they hate you, but they need to know that real love means you're obedient to your parents. You're just going to be obedient because you know that you don't want to hurt them. And that's what we have to make sure that they understand. Because let me tell you what happens. It's just real flexible. Everything gets really flexible. And was that, then we grow up in that environment and we get real flexible with each other. Guess what? Who else we're going to be real flexible with? God. So really, God's precepts, His statutes don't matter. But we come to church and say, I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you. Anybody ever been there? Then we go out the building and break a commandment. We got to ask ourselves, do I really love Him? He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So not sing the song. He said, you won't sing a song that's real pretty. You won't sing a song that says, I love you. If I love Him, what am I going to do? I'm going to keep His commandments. I mean, see this. See, just ask these little questions and you go find a verse. Man, you could. I put this on the screen. I was loading up. Brother Scott said, that's a Sunday message right there. That's fancy, ain't it? For a Thursday night? Question. What is love as defined by Scripture? What is love as defined by Scripture? Because how many of you know a lot of people have a lot of definitions of love? But we got to know what love is as defined by Scripture. The answer. 2 John 1:6. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Think about that. So we ask the question, you know, what is love as defined by the Scripture? He said, and this is love, that you walk after His commandments. And I think that's correct. Right? I can't argue with the verse, the Scripture, because what are we doing tonight? Ask the Scripture. We're asking the Bible. So this is love, that you walk after His commandments. Can you see this theme that we're going to see throughout these questions? That if you love God, and we say we love Him, you know that we won't have to look after folks near as much if we really love God, because what are we going to do? Keep His commandments. But see, the church has been it's been all sorts of things where we have it set up where you got to look after folks. And you got to check on folks. But if folks love God, they're going to keep His commandments. Right? Who's the one we should look to? All of us. Me, you, everybody. I might be up here, but I am no different. There's only one head of the body. And who is that? That's Jesus. Yeshua is the only head. And he's the pastor. Technically, right? Is that correct? He's the pastor. I might be under shepherd, but I ain't no way in a scale of this is Yeshua. No way on that scale. He was the only one given that position. Nobody can share that position with Him. And He's the head of the body. I'm a part of the body. That's it. Just like you're a part of the body. And we all have different functions in the body. One of my functions is to lead this ministry. Does that mean I'm in charge? No, who's in charge? Jesus. Remember, there's one head. That's Christ. We got to keep that things in mind. I think that the church world's forgotten that. I really do. They teach people more to look to the person and follow the person. And people get really excited about people. You can have a certain group of people come to a certain part of town, and folks will get all worked up about getting to that meeting for the person. Not so much for God. And I think that we've did a disservice there. Okay? Next question. Who did we receive this commandment from? This commandment that we've been talking about. So I want you to think these things are going to kind of be in order, okay? Who did we receive this commandment from? Let's look at the verse. 2 John 1:4. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth. As we received commandment from who? The Father. Think about that. Isn't that incredible? We received the commandment from the Father. So, again, this is what happens. Well, shake your head, yes, if you ever heard people talk this away. Okay? Well, they didn't tell it to me. Right? You ever heard that? What do they mean there? Well, whatever the reference was, don't apply to me because they didn't say it to me. Who did we receive the commandment from? The Father. Remember that. So if we receive the command from the Father, should we look for anybody else to give us some other direction? There is nobody else. Let me ask you this question. Did Jesus change the directions? If he didn't change them, then I don't know who we think we are that we can change them. Right? Who do we receive the commandment from? The Father. These are important questions and great answers through the Scripture. What we're doing, asking the Scripture. How many is enjoying this already? Let this minister to you. You take these things, go back and look at them, and go and find you some more verses of Scripture to go with them. It'll be a very helpful study. Next question. Is this commandment new? And if not, how long have we had it? Is this commandment new? And if not, how long have we had it? Anybody want to try for how long we've had it? Since the what? Since the beginning. 2 John. 2 John 1:5. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we do what? Love one another. If we love one another, would you not take into account if you were tested with a trial, or maybe not just a trial? What about a temptation? Wouldn't you consider your fellow brother and sister in the Lord before you made a rash decision to do something that would bring a negative effect on them? I think we would if we did what? If we love one another and we follow in his command, we wouldn't be just, well, it don't matter. Because what happens when you do that, you start saying, well, it's not about them, it's about me. When it's about you, then that's that separation in that relationship. And we're all of the same body. Right? That we're all of the same body. And we, you know, what happens if I, this is my left foot. What happens if I take my right foot and I raise it up and I just stomp the left foot as hard as I can? What is going to happen? Am I going to know it? Then that's what happens when we don't consider that whatever I do affects the person that's a part of that body, even if they're not there or don't even hear about it or never know. It affects them. And if I loved, I wouldn't do that. I mean, you can see where this stuff keeps you in the straight and narrow. And if we think the way the world wants, we could be on a broad road and we could just bounce around. And that's what most people is doing. It doesn't really matter. And it does matter. So what you do matters. And what you do affects somebody else. So whatever you're doing, it has a positive or a negative effect on other people. And that's what Jesus taught. He said, look, if we're going to do this, we have to be faithful to it. And so these are some of the things that I think we have to consider, okay? Next question. What message have we heard from the beginning? What message have we heard from the beginning? 1 John 3:11 says this. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning. That we should do what? Love one another. Did they hear that from the beginning? Yeah, that's what it said. They heard this message from the beginning. So let me ask you this. When God created Adam and Eve, did he share this message with them? What did they share with their children? Yes. Abel knew about this. Did he not? Did Cain know about it? He knew too. But see, he just did what he wanted. It affected his brother so much that wound up dead. Well, I'm just going to go to church when I want. You don't know the people. Somebody said, well, I would never take something and slay my brother. Really? I wonder how, if God counted it and we can really see it, I wonder how many brothers and sisters we've slayed in our lifetime by the stuff we did. Think about it. These are things we got to consider. We got to put that out there and just get our, so our mind starts to think that this is not difficult. God didn't make this difficult. Why is it difficult for us? It's because we're not following the commands of God. If we follow this precept, it's not difficult. And we'll see that later on in some of these questions. He didn't set us up for failure. He didn't give the command so people would fail miserably. He said, I can tell you, I'm going to give them. They're never going to make it. Do you think God gave them for that? The testimony of the Lord is sure. Remember the song we used to sing? Making wise the simple. It's sure. And these are wonderful precepts that we have to keep reminding ourselves of. That's why I wanted to show this to you. Next question. When was the beginning? When was the beginning? This is an easy one, right? If I want to know when the beginning was, where am I going to go to? I'm going to go to the beginning. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. When did he do it? In the beginning. And these, some of them are simple. I don't know. You got to, anybody need to check that one out? Make sure that's right. Next question. Has the Word, when we started out reading about the Word, has the Word really been from the beginning? In John 1:1-5 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the light was the light of men, and the light shined in darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. That Word. Remember, we dealt with this on the plan of God. God's plan, His perfect plan, was in place. It's already there. Didn't have to change it, alter it, to fix it. God, listen, if it's perfect, why would you have to fool with it? How many of you know He said in that same song that the testimony of the Lord, you know, is sure, and then it talks about it being perfect. I'm going to ask you something. If it's perfect, do we need to fool with it? When you're doing something, you step back and you say it's perfect. You don't go back and tear it up and start over. You sat. What does that mean when you say it's perfect? You're satisfied with what you just did. He said the Word or the law or my statutes are perfect. That's what God said. They're perfect. They make wise the simple. They do all sorts of things. It's truth, He said. So I want you to keep that in mind as you're studying the Scripture. We got to know those things. This is what illuminates everything. And this is kind of the title that we have here. The Word is illuminating. It's uplifting. Next question. How do we love God? And what does loving God really mean? How do we love God? And what does loving God really mean? How many want to learn how to love God? 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. His commandments are not burdensome. So how many want to love Him? How many know that we can love God? Some people want to love God in different ways. They want to love God through works. You can't love God through works. Because on our best days, we couldn't satisfy God. What does He just want us to do then? Just keep His commandments. He sets the rule. He said, just do this. If you do that, we're good. But what man wants to do, oh, that's not enough. I'm gonna add to it. You know, it's like this. God says, listen, I'm going to just give you an example. He says, listen, I want you to carry 10 pounds to church, and five in your left hand and five in your right hand. So you carry and sin. That's how you'll love me. Somebody said, oh, I'm going to love God more than that. I'm going to get 100 for each hand. They don't make it halfway here. They're on the side of the road. You see what I'm saying? Did he ask us to do that? No. He said, for this is the love of God, that you would keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. They won't leave you on the side of the road, war slap out. But how many of us, let's be honest, how many of you ever felt worn out trying to serve God? Can I tell you why? How many of you ever heard this statement? You know, I've tried it. I'm just worn out. I'm trying, but I can't make it trying to serve God. Something's wrong. Because if we're following the prescribed method that God, it's not burdensome. It won't leave you worn out. Is this helping anybody? That's why he said, when we come to Christ, we got to lay aside every weight and sin would thus so easily beset us. You think he might have knew something? I think so. All that extra baggage, all that extra weight, you think you're pleasing God? We can't please God that way. People think we can please God by doing a lot for God. Let me tell you, you can do ministry too much. Uh-oh. That's true. So much so that we think, well, somehow this is getting to God. Why don't we just go back to the precepts of God, keep his commandments, and love the Lord that way. And we got to be careful with that, okay? Next question, really. The law of God, as written by Moses, is easy? Let's see. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 9 through 16. The Lord, Yahweh, will again delight in you and make you prosperous, just as he delighted in your ancestors. If you obey the Lord, your God, and keep his commandments and decrees that are written in this book of the law, and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into the heavens to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you will have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No, the word. Notice that. The word is very near you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart, so you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. I mean, thank God for that. How many see the simplicity of that text? Very simple, very easy. He says, well, we do it, but all the good stuff's in heaven. So we need somebody. We got to get postured right. We got to get ourselves in some kind of frenzy so we can get to heaven to get it. He said, it's not there. Well, it's somewhere in some other geographic location. It's on some island somewhere, and we got to have somebody go across the seas, and we got to have people just go, and I'm sure it's going to break out. It's going to be a breakout. No, it's not there, he said. He said, the word is nigh you. It's even in your mouth, and it's in your heart, the word of God. How many know that every person here can have the law of God in your mouth and in your heart? Amen? Next question. What is the whole responsibility of man? The whole responsibility of man. Now, if I opened this up and gave everybody pen and paper, I'm sure we can make a whole list of responsibilities that man has. The whole responsibility of man. And I mean, we just go on and on, and we'd have it, you know, we'd have it all broke down into the smallest little thing, and we'd have so many, it would be impossible for us to remember all the things that we can write down. Look what the Word says. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. What about that one? That's pretty simple, right? I can go to a third world country and sit with somebody underneath a tree I ain't never seen in my life, and I can teach them this. But if I tell them they got to do this, they got to perform this, and they got to do that. This is what he said. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Do what next? Keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. How many know that them commandments are important, right? We got to know what they are. We can't keep them if we don't know what they are. We're going to look at some of that in some of our other studies as we go along. Next question. So then, how is keeping all the commandments loving God and loving others? So then, how is keeping all the commandments loving God and loving others? Matthew 22, verse 37 through 40. Yeshua said to him, talking about Jesus here, Yeshua being his Hebrew name, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is likened to it. You should love your neighbor as yourself. Watch what he says. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. On these two commandments hang what? How much of the law? All the law and the prophets. So you got to keep these things in mind. They're very important to understand. All right? I know we're going through these questions fast. And I know that you, but there will be, you'll be able to get all this. I'm sure they'll have, keep track of the slides will be back there. You'll be able to look at them. Next question. If we love him, how should we feel about his commandments? How should we feel about the commandments of God? What about this statement? Well, you know, them commandments don't matter no more. How many think that might be a little difficult right there to say that? How many know that a lot of people say that who are serving God today? I want to tell you that the whole Bible matters. And I've been teaching this for quite some time now. I believe that the Bible is an entire book. And I think we should read it from the front cover to the back cover. And we shouldn't split it up and divide it and say we don't need certain parts of it. I mean, understand that it's important for us. We're going to know the history of God and all the stuff God wants us to know. How many think we ought to be looking at all the stuff God said? You know, here's what amazes me. Well, bless the Lord. We under the new covenant. We don't need the Old Testament no more. And then before the service goes, I just want to let you know all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Okay, you just... You tore up the first, you know, you said you didn't need it. Now you said all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, but we don't need it. Tell me you see the point. Now, that's where the churches wind up. The churches wind up right there. From whatever it is, whatever distractions we've had, whatever's been handed down, whatever we didn't do when we're supposed to research it for ourselves, I think that's where the church wind up. And we got to be careful with that. Let's look at, if we love Him, how should we feel about His commandments? Psalms 1, verse 2. But His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law, He meditates day and night. How many of you ever heard that verse? You know how many times I heard that? I mean, folks will get going on that thing. I mean, they'll get going. You get to really preaching good on that chapter right there. Amen? That's the truth. You'll get going on that verse. But His delight is in the law of the Lord. and on his law and meditates day and night. The whole time they're saying that, they're disregarding the Old Testament. That's the truth. Anybody else? Yeah. Cut that thing in half. Can't do it. Next verse. Psalms 119:35. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. How many want to delight in the whole Word of God? The whole Word of God. You think God's Word is trying to put us in bondage, lock us in prison, put restraints on us? That's what people say. Well, you know, you can't go by that thing. You'll be so restrained, you won't be able to worship God no more. You hear it all. I want to tell you that the Word of God don't put you in restraint. It frees you. It liberates you to serve God. You get so excited. Then you start seeing miraculous things happen. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Anybody ever hear that statement? Can you read the rest for me, somebody? I bet you ain't heard that part. I'm just saying, right? Where there's no vision, the people perish. Go to the next chapter. Right? But, should we quit? Anybody, what about our teachers in here? If it said but, should we quit? But he that keeps the law, happy is he. So what are we supposed to be doing? We ought to be keeping the statutes of God. Amen? Oh, thank you, Lord. Next question. How many thought we'd get through all these questions? I don't know how many we even done yet. I don't have a number. I should have numbered them, I guess. All right. Did Yeshua, talking about Jesus here, abolish or remove any commandments from God's law? Anyone want to give the short answer of that? Let me ask it again before you're answering too quick now. Did Yeshua abolish or remove any commandment from God's law? You still sticking with no? And what happens if we teach and act like he did? I wonder what will happen. And what happens if we teach and act like he did? Ready for the answer? Matthew 5. Matthew 5:17-19. Think not, this is Jesus, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I do not come to destroy, but to fill up. For verily I say unto you, this is still Jesus talking, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. And talking about the law and the prophets. Till all be fulfilled. Now, I'm going to ask you, has all been fulfilled up to this point, right now? The law and the prophets, has all been fulfilled? Then we're still there. Oh, you hear me? Until all's been fulfilled, we're still there. Is there any prophetic stuff that's never happened yet? What about Revelations? Are we still waiting on that prophecy to happen? And so we have to remember that we're still there. And these are important principles. He said, until heaven and earth pass, not one jot or tittle will in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Talking about the law and the prophets. And these are so. This is important that we grab hold to that. Watch the next one. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Does both of them go to the kingdom? Yeah, it said that. What's going to be the reward then? If the guy who says, look, you can be saved, and you can say, you know what? Some of these don't really matter. You're going to be what in the kingdom? Least. That's the reward. So when he brings the reward, it's called the Bema Judgment. Okay? So when Christ returns, he's bringing the rewards with him. The beam of judgment, not the great white throne judgment, a different judgment. Now, it's been my understanding from what I was gathered from people that I talked to, is that everybody, say everybody, goes before the white throne judgment. Anybody ever hear that beside me? Great white throne judgment, everybody shows up, boom, God gets it on, right? I don't think that's the case. The Bema judgment is when Christ returns and he brings rewards with him. If he's bringing rewards, he's going to judge. And he talked about his judgment. So how does the judgment happen? It happens, the dead in Christ will rise. That's an indication. That's an indication. If you don't rise, you've been judged in the beam of judgment. Some rise, some don't. Right? The ones that rise, he gives the rewards. What's the rewards? Least or great in the kingdom. You're both in the kingdom. Some will be least in the kingdom. Some will be great in the kingdom. Now, I want to tell you, is being in the kingdom really, that's all, it don't really matter? I think it does. I think it does. I think you know if you're least and you'll know if you're great. What should we strive? So it don't matter. I don't care me as long as I'm in there. Right? That's what some people say. And they grow up doing that. It don't matter to me what my grades are as long as I pass. You carry that in life with you. It don't matter if I do a good job as long as they give my check. I'm just saying. Have you ever met any people like that? I've met people like that. That matters. It does matter. God's looking. God's taking account of it. It does matter. We have to take these things into consideration simply because Jesus didn't go, it don't really matter if I got a bad attitude. I'm going to die. I'm going to raise. So what? No, he said, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to have a good attitude. Because my Father's watching me. So not my will, but your will be done. You understand? Now, we knew Jesus was tempted in all points, just like we are. But he made some conscious decisions to do the right thing because he wanted to please the Father. He wanted to keep the commandments, and he didn't break any of them. So I hope this is helping you so we can challenge ourselves a little bit. So the beam of judgment, Christ returns, the judgment happens. So why would we go before the great white throne judgment? We've already been judged. We already have rewards, least and great in the kingdom. What else is going to happen? Nothing. The second resurrection, those people are going to be in trouble because they're going to stand before God and they're going to be judged according to what they did. And so we have to keep that in consideration. When you study, go back and read it. Next question. Let's talk about Paul. Did Paul abolish or remove any commandments from God's laws, or did he agree with the teachings of Yeshua? Because Paul's not easy to read. And if you read it and you slow down and read Paul's letters, they're not easy to read because of some of the things he says from time to time. Sometimes it seems like he's for, sometimes it seems like he's against. But you got to read the whole writings of Paul to understand it, not just some of them. So I could go pick on Paul tonight, and I could go pick out something, but if you read all of Paul, how many has ever read all of Paul's letters? I've read them several times, over and over. All of Paul's letters, you can understand what he's up against. You have to understand he was up against the Gnosticism and everything at that time, and people were already breaking off. How many think there were traditions of men in Paul's day? What about Jesus' day? Absolutely. You think that just stuff went away? No. How's about Gentiles coming to the faith? How's about people who were idol worshipers coming into the body of Christ? Don't you think we got to deal with that? The idol worship? They were already exposed to that. So in their mind, they said, well, I'm going to come. I'm going to illuminate this Christianity. Man, it's going to be so awesome. I'm going to bring all my traditions in, and I'm going to really give God some praise. But God has commandments. He said, you can't worship me like that. You see, that was all happening. Paul was up against it, dealing with this on a daily basis. Romans 3:31, the answer. This is what he says. He says, do we make void the law through faith? That's a question. Do we make void the law through faith? What does he say? Certainly not. On the contrary, we do what? What do? Establish the law. We establish the law. So if you establish the law, what are you doing if you establish something? What does that mean? Let me see if we can understand it this way. If I say something, if I tell you that the sun is shining outside, okay, and it had been raining and it was cloudy, but I went to the door and didn't hear no more rain, and I looked out the door and I said, Brother Josh, the sun is shining outside. And you go, well, it was just storming and cloudy. It was so bad, I don't know how I could be clear. So Brother Scott gets up, and he goes, and he looks, and he says, it's shining. What did he just do? He established what I said. And then now you got what I said and what he said, and then you still might, you know, be wondering. And so Brother Brian gets up, and he goes, he said, man, it is shining now. So then you got to ask yourself, okay, I got Pastor's word, I got Brother Scott's word, I got Brother Brian's word. They all said the same thing. That's what we see in here. He said, do we make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we do what? We establish the law through faith. Faith establishes the law. So when we come to the saving knowledge, for by grace are ye saved through faith. So salvation is a free gift from God. It's the grace of God. That's how we can't get saved through the law. How many understand that? Nobody can get saved through the law. Can you get saved just because you keep the commandments? Then you can't. You can't get saved that way. But once you get saved, for by grace are ye saved through faith. What do you really want to do after that? You want to keep his commandments, right? So remember I gave an example for our Passover? Remember that? I said, Christ in us is the root. Our foundation, our root is, for by grace are you saved through faith. That's Christ in us through faith. But then the tree starts growing. The fruit on the tree is going to be whether or not we're keeping his commandments. So if we got fruit that is contrary to the commandments of God, you'll be able to see that that's affecting somebody's life. You'll see that effect. You'll know them by what? You'll know them by what? So a person can be saved, that's their root. But you can know them by their fruit. What they believe, what they adhere to, is going to be by the fruit, right? So if we serve in God in a pagan way, that's our fruit, right? Now, we have to ask ourselves, if I keep bearing that type of fruit, is God pleased with that? You see? Am I really loving God the way he wants me to love him? And so we have to keep that in mind, all right? Next question. How did Paul feel about the law? The law. Did he claim the law was a burden? Did Paul say the law was a burden? We need to find out. How did he feel about the law? First question. Did he claim the law was a burden? Well, let's see. Romans 7, verse 22. This is what Paul said. He says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I want you to think about that. He said, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now, before Adam sinned against God, he could communicate and be in perfect relationship with God. Then sin came, separated, alienated him from God. God put him out of the garden. Now, he was still alive. But the inward, his inward ability, spirit to spirit connection. You remember I preached this a long, long time ago, the The spirit to spirit connection. That was severed. So he couldn't delight in the commandments of God after the inward man. No, he couldn't do it anymore. It takes something to happen. And so we're born into that. It's that separation, that losing out with God in that relationship. So Christ comes. And he fixes that. He repairs that. So now, on the inside, our inward is alive unto God. The spirit, we have that connection with God. So this is what he's talking about. For I delight in the law of God. Now watch what he said. He said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So what happens, and what is that indication for us? The spirit infilling. I mean, you know that Holy Spirit infilling is important. Very important. So we need the Holy Ghost. We can't make it without the Holy Ghost. That's why he said, I won't leave you comfortless, but he's going to come. And so the Holy Ghost comes, and we receive the Holy Ghost. We receive the baptism filled with the Spirit. Now, what is that for? What is the Spirit for? It's to help us understand how to delight in the law of God. It's not for people to do all sorts of monkey shines and all that stuff. Folks are doing monkey shines and doing all that clowning around in the church, and they don't delight after the things of God. They want chill bumps and feelings and all that craziness. And it just goes, and once it gets going, it gets out of hand. And then folks are competing against one another, trying to outshout one another, out-spiritualize one another. It becomes a competition. What do you think God thinks about that? You think he sent his son to die for that? Are you kidding me? No, he sent him to die so we can delight in the law of God. Delight in his law. Amen? Is this helping you? And this is this information I'm giving. You got to go. You go back and study this and read these verses. Read the verses all around these verses and let it minister to your heart. Next question. Did Paul and James state and prove that Paul followed, taught, and was obedient to all of what Moses wrote? So we're talking. The question is, did Paul and James state and prove that Paul followed, taught, and was obedient to all of what Moses wrote? Now, Moses, the law of Moses, was that Moses' words? Did he come up with all that stuff? No, he was inspired by God, and he wrote. So don't let's not say, well, we ain't got to follow the things of Moses. Like it's Moses came up with those rules and regulations. He was spoke, that was given to him by God. So if we're going to be mad at following something or saying we ain't going to follow something, we got to realize that we're rejecting God, not Moses. So it's easy to reject Moses, right? I remember one time somebody said, you know, if I ever run into Moses, he'll bow down to me. That's crazy. That's the kind of crazy stuff goes on when people get all worked up. I got so much spirit on me, Moses will kneel at my feet. What in the world? That's crazy talking. Where you come up with that?
That's right.
You know, you got to wonder, what did you hit your head? Do you see when you're following the things of God, nobody's competing against one another. We're not going to compete with Paul and James and Mo. We're not. Nobody does that. Did Jesus do any of that? Never did any of that. But folks who get, they say so close to God, man, you don't have a chance. The answer, Acts 21, verse 20. He said, when they heard this, they praised God. Then they said to Paul, you see, brother, how many thousands of Jews have believed, and all of them are zealous for the what? The law. They have been informed that you teach all the Jews who live among the Gentiles to turn away from Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or live according to our custom. What shall we do? They certainly hear that you have come. So, do what we tell you. There are four men with us who have made a vow. Think of it, they made a vow. Take these men, join in their purification rites, and pay their expenses so that they can have their heads shaved. Then everybody will know that there is no truth in this report about you. No truth. What did they say he was doing? That he was going against it. He said, they'll know there is no truth in this report about you, but that you yourself are living in obedience to the law. I'm going to ask you a question. Did Jesus already die at this point? Did he ascend at this point? All that's happened. We got in the book of Acts. All that's going on. This is years, years later. And they're still going through this stuff. And they said, these are what people saying you're doing. He said, but there are four men who made a vow. Join with them that people will know that this is not true. So I want you to keep these things in mind. So verse 25, he says, as for the Gentile believers, we have written to them our decision that they should abstain from food sacrificed to what? Idols. Is he going against the law here? No, no. Abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. Verse 26, the next day Paul took the men and purified himself along with them. Why would he do such a thing if he wasn't saying, okay, we'll prove that lie wrong? Then he went to the temple to give notice of the date when the day of purification would end and the offering would be made for each of them. I'm just saying, Paul was up against it. He really was. They were coming against him, saying, oh, you're teaching against the things. He said, I'm not teaching. Listen, if you accused of teaching against the law of God, and you say, I'm not teaching against the law of God, I believe you're adamant and you're a law keeper, you're saying, you know what? These are important principles. And he went to the purification. Just study that. Go and study it. I brought this one up so you could go and study it for yourself and see where you wind up. When Paul was again continuously accused by the Pharisees for breaking the law of Moses, did he clarify himself again and again of what he believed, just like in Acts 21? He did, time and time again. Listen to what he said in Acts 24, 13 through 14. Nor can they prove the things which they now accuse me. But this I confess to you, that according to the way. What did Jesus say? I am the way. According to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers. Believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. I'm going to ask you, did Paul believe all things written in the law and the prophets? Where do we go wrong when we say, well, you just don't need that stuff? How many think that if you read in Revelations, and we've done our Revelation study, we're going to try to get back on that as soon as we can. It's a little difficult to understand Revelations without Daniel, right? Ezekiel, Isaiah. We need the prophets, right? Oh, you go in Revelation, you go, ah, what is that? What are you talking about? So we need all that stuff. So it's amazing to me how we could just say, oh, well, you know, the way we see it, we don't need none of these right here. Don't need these right here. We don't need. And now we got it. We done shaved it down how we like it. We tore some pages out. Got it really fixed up nice. Come join us, because we got it right. So you grab their little chin and you say, well, all these pages are torn out. What is that? What that was? Well, that's stuff you didn't need. Well, can I see it to see if I need it? No, it didn't. Really, no point in it. We got the brains are here. We got the smartest people here, and Nathan figured it out for you. That's what folks do. All right, I got my time's up. I'm going to do one more question. So Paul kept stating he was observed. He observed and taught what Moses wrote when he was accused of not teaching what Moses wrote. In Acts 25, verse 8, while he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. And this was before council. So he's on trial. He's before council. He's under oath. And he just says, have I offended anything at all? At all. If you question, you tell me what. So he defended many times. When Paul was brought before his accusers, he stood up and said, listen, you say whatever you want to say, but I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm living for the Lord the way he's described to me. All right? Well, I don't know. I have too many more to keep going. So that's good. We'll stop right there. All right. How many would like to do this for a couple more Thursdays going?